And then before we get to Mississippi, then the record Badlands, of
course. Yeah.
So Badlands, we're talking South Dakota then, or are we?
Well, you know, we're still in the Southwest. We're actually moved east into West Texas. And then from there, you're just kind of moving up, just more dry landscape.
Yeah.
Just dry landscape. And what I did to make this record a little bit different is that I dropped, even though there's some elements here of the Southwest landscape feel, the native flutes have been dropped for fiddle. There's a little bit more fiddle work on this, and there wasn't any. And the fellow who played the violin on this is Andrew Joslin, Chris Kattan's brother, Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live, the comedian there. So my wife started working with him and his band when he was a pretty young age. I just think they just in their early 20s, maybe not even 20 yet, 21 yet. And he's still here in Seattle, still playing another great storm. So he had a big part on doing that. And also finally got Cindy Cashdollar to play on like she's on three or four songs on the album. And she's a great, you know, steel player that was in Asleep at the Wheel. And she actually, in the next couple of weeks, is going to be here at Jazz Alley playing with Albert Lee. So just, you know, great guitarists, both of them, for sure.
It says ambient Americana on it. So that's, I mean, you start getting into labels, and on one level they're necessary so people get a sense of what they're getting into, but on another, you know, like the label New Age would be kind of a millstone these days, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it would be a what again?
Millstone.
Yeah.
Albatross.
Yeah, I think so. It's funny. I think if ambient Americana is the term that I coined for back when I was doing Southwest, you know, because it definitely has the roots, some rootsy Americana elements. That's where I'm coming from on all this. But, you know, if I just was going to sit down and compose to the concept of ambient Americana, there would probably be even more elements of like what Steve Roach or Byron Medcalf, those two guys would do, which is even more just zony shaman. But are you familiar with Steve Roach?
I've heard the name, but I've not heard of
the guy. You know, he's just really the guy for, you know, sounds, for doing that, for the ambient stuff. He's truly amazing. But yeah, you know, I guess there's just more elements of sort of songwriting craft in what I do. Like there's a vocal. I mean, I was taught early on that, you know, the guitar, what I'm doing when we're playing classical guitar music, you know, we're emulating the voice. Do the best you can to make it sound like conversation.
Does that come out of Segovia? I mean, I know.
Definitely. Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about how you fell into that and studied at Western, did you not?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, you know, again, we kind of go back to the Ralph Tanner. I mean, I started playing guitar when I was like 9 or 10 years old and just hacking it out and, you know, with the rock bands and stuff. And then there was the whole progressive English movement, you know, Yes, King Crimson, Gentle Giant, and, you know, the guitar players in all of these groups dabbled with a nylon string guitar.
They had some chops.
Yeah, they could play that. They brought that in, used that as some elements. And then Ralph Tanner enters my world of, you know, of listening, and he's playing the classical guitar. So I'm going, and there was one particular moment where I was had some friends over, and I was just kind of noodling on the guitar, and one of them said, "Hey, play us a song." And it was like I'd been playing guitar for 10 or more years. Probably, yeah, you know, actually at that point, really only 8 or 9 years, because I was like 18. And I realized, I can't play a song. I can play you the solo to Layla. I can play you the riffs to any Led Zeppelin song you want. But to sit and play a song, like Ralph Towner could play a song, or Steve Howe could play a song, I'm like, okay, I got to fix this. within short order, I was, yeah, up at Western, enrolled in the classical guitar performance program with Tom Patterson. And actually, Frank Blibben was there first, and then Tom came, was there the following year. And I tell you, the first thing, yeah, was it, right out of the chute, was learning about the concept of legato and phrasing and connecting your notes and having it be conversational.
Wow.
Yeah.
It must have just blown your head off at that age.
Yeah, but it was really exciting because it was just like, oh, man. There was a line. There was a course. I could see where I was at. I could see what I needed to do. So it was just, I was just playing my guitar all day long, you know, just because there was so much to learn.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When I think of that kind of guitar, I think of the Friday Night in San Francisco record by John McLaughlin and Paco de Lucia and El Divihola.
Yeah.
Seeing that when I was a young man at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago.
Those guys were amazing. Well, of course, and that was a little bit more of gypsy-esque flamenco, you know, stylings. What I was studying was contemporaries of Beethoven. Like, there was a guy named Fernando Sor. And almost to the day, he lived the exact same time frame as Beethoven. And he wrote hundreds of songs for the Baroque guitar, which was the forerunner to the classical. And Segovia took a bunch of those and turned them into etudes. So we had a book of 20 etudes by Fernando Sor. And if you learned each one of these 20 etudes and studied them, you would have every component of classical guitar under your belt. And that's what we did.
Chops Ahoy.
Yeah, Chops Ahoy. You know, we would play, then we would play the Bach cello suites. There's six of those, and they were all transcribed, and from that we would learn phrasing, and we would listen to a guy named Franz Bruggen who played those on the Baroque recorder, so we could really hear exactly how the conversation on those instruments would go. And yeah,